much about history, don't know much biology, don't know much about a science book, don't know much about the French I took, but I do know that I love you.
All right, it's Dave Plyer and Josh Plyer back with you on 720 WGN, and now joining us in the chair, switching a roo, is Mr. Dave Schwann.
Well, good morning and happy Father's Day. Josh, take care of your dad today.
Thank you, I will.
Okay.
We're going to Polish Fest in Milwaukee.
That sounds wonderful.
Right?
That really does sound great.
Some good music, you know, some good classic. You know, I grew up with all that stuff, and then some good pierogies.
I was just going to say, pierogies, you got to have
my favorite pierogies sign, though,
and glumki.
My favorite sign, though, I swear, when you walk in, there's a big sign that says krautballs.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is that? Yeah. Every time I see it, I take a picture like I'm five.
Krautballs.
So they're like deep fried balls of sauerkraut.
Ooh. Oh, man.
I want to try one, actually. That can't be
bad. You're young. You can try one. It's not going to hurt you.
Yeah. Nice. You know, okay, there you go. The color in your studio, I'm just looking. If you're looking at WGNradio.com, for some reason, the color was red. It looked like there was like a,
I know.
Like there was a
I've
reaction.
I've noticed that myself.
Like there was like a nuclear reaction happening at your desk.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the deal is. Yeah.
The Banish effect. It's a switchover.
Exactly.
By the time I'm done, everything will be in black and white.
Did you get some coffee?
I did.
All right. Do you have a favorite TV dad?
I heard you guys talking about TV dads, and I guess I would have several. You know me. The television ended when they started shooting Andy Griffith episodes in color.
Yeah.
So,
<right?
laughs> but no, Andy is one of my, I think as a father, as a single father, he was wonderful in there. And I heard, you know, going through a list of other TV dads, Fred McMurray, Robert Young, and Father Knows Best.
The classics. These are the classics.
Yeah. Dick Van Dyke as Richie's father.
I want to say Ricky Ricardo. If I'm going to throw him into this presidential conversation, he was a preoccupied father. He was always at the nightclub.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Or dealing with his wife.
Yeah.
What was that called? The club.
Tropicana.
Babaloo.
Babaloo
was the song he did, but the club was the Tropicana.
No, but he was a Tropicana at the beginning, but then the last seasons he had his own club.
Yeah, oh, okay. Okay.
See? Some worthless trivia for you, Dave.
I hadn't forgotten that. I heard somebody else mention Archie Bunker as a father. And, you know, we always think of him as the lovable grouch and everything else, but there was an episode where spacing her name now.
His daughter. Sally Struthers?
Sally, yeah.
Gloria?
Gloria, thank you. Was going to have a baby. She had become pregnant. And then she miscarried. And, of course, was devastated. And the final scene in that one show of Archie going into her room and comforting her was very touching.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was also very touching when he took his own grandchild to be baptized when everyone told him not to. That makes him probably one of the worst as well. So that happens. That happens.
Yeah.
All right, we got some history here to talk about today. Let's talk first about 1868. President Andrew Johnson passed a law that government workers would work an eight-hour day.
Hmm.
So that was the first. So in 1864, an eight-hour day quickly became a central demand of the Chicago labor movement. The Illinois legislature passed a law in early 1867 granting an eight-hour day, but many loopholes made it largely ineffective. So there was a strike that began in Chicago in 1867 before our economy collapsed here. And then on June 25th, 1868, Congress passed an eight-hour law for federal employees, which also limited effectiveness as well. So, you know, they were working 12 hours a day.
Sure.
6 days a week.
6 days a week. And I think the five-day 40-hour work week, you know, 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday, didn't really happen until the early years of the 20th century.
That's true.
So, you know, you had the an 8 hour work day, but, you know, they could have stretched that over 6 days.
They could have. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. 1910 was the first Father's Day, Josh.
Father's Day celebrated for the first time at the YMCA in 1910 by Sonora Smart Dodd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So who was born in Arkansas? Its first celebration was in the Spokane YMCA on June 19th, 1910. Her father, the Civil War veteran William Jackson Smart, was a single parent who raised his six children there. After hearing a sermon about Jarvis Mother's Day in 1909, she told her pastor that fathers should have a similar holiday honoring them. She initially suggested June 5th, her father's birthday. The pastors did not have enough time to prepare their sermons, and the celebration was deferred to the third Sunday of June.
So there you go, a little Father's Day history, or 1910.
Yeah, the person he refers to as Jarvis, Josh, was Anna Jarvis in West Virginia, and word got around that she, you know, wanted to honor her mother, and Sonora Smart Dodd in Spokane thought that was a good idea. Let's honor fathers as well. I think her father had recently passed away. So just to add to that, you had. You had all the facts right, though.
There you have it.
Good
there
work.
You have it. Thank you. 1917, Raggedy Ann doll was invented. Now, it's a character created by American writer Johnny Gruhl in a series of books he wrote and illustrated for young children. It's a rag doll with red yarn for hair and a triangle nose. He created Raggedy Ann for his daughter Marcella when she brought him an old handmade rag doll, and he drew a face on it. From his bookshelf, he pulled a book of poems from James Whitcomb Riley and combined the names of the two poems, The Raggedy Man and Little Orphan Annie. And that's
Raggedy Ann.
There you go. Boom.
There was a Raggedy Ann food company. Do you remember that, Dave?
Yeah, I kind of do. What was it? Was it sweets or what was it?
It was kind of like Green Giant or you know, Libby's, where they would, you know, can fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
I don't think they've been around in years, but I remember seeing Raggedy Ann Foods in the store, canned goods,
sure,
you know, canned beans or canned corn. And the logo featured the Raggedy Ann doll on the front of the product.
I'm sure there was money to be made there.
I would think so.
1933, Don McNeil's Pepper Pot, which was the Breakfast Club, Don McNeil's Breakfast Club, began a 35-and-a-half-year run on NBC. The Breakfast Club is a long-run morning variety show on the NBC and ABC network originating in Chicago, hosted by Don McNeil from 1933 through December 1968. McNeil's 35-and-a-half-year run as host remains the longest tenure for an MC of a network entertainment program, surpassing Johnny Carson at 29-and-a-half years and Bob Barker at 34-and-a-half years. Let's listen to a little clip of this original program.
Presenting America's favorite, the Blue Network Breakfast Club, with Don McNeil.
Good morning, Breakfast Club. Good morning to you. We got up bright and early, just a howdy to you. The coffee's on the table set, there's bacon in the skillet, and Harry Cogan and his boys have fumed the village. So come on, gang, and gather around. We'll start this meeting.
That's how I'm going to start my show from now on.
Why not?
Why not?
I mean it. Why not?
Why not? Do a little sing and dance, a little soft shoe.
Yeah.
Throw a little hat around the studio. People think I'm just nuts.
Kane.
I vaguely Kane. Remember yeah. hearing the Breakfast Club still on WLS.
Yeah, it was ABC. Yeah.
They carried it mid-mornings, I think, around 10:05.
Mm-hmm.
For a half hour or so, and you said until 1968, but
yeah,
I can remember
crazy?
Hearing that in 67 or so.
35
really?
And a half years. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
1940, Josh?
1940, Batman Comics. Mobsters rubbed out a circus high wire team known as the Flying Graysons, leaving their son Dick Robin an orphan, thus the introduction of Robin.
So that's how Robin came about. So there was some mobsters that killed the Flying Graysons, and Robin was the only one left. Dick
and
Grayson.
That's how Dick Bruce Wayne and
yeah.
Dick Grayson became a ward of Bruce
yes.
Wayne.
Which I never understood what the ward was, but now I guess I do. Like it adopted, or he was put under his care.
Yeah.
Robin was a circus act.
Dick Grayson and the Graysons was a circus act, yeah.
That really was never explained in the 60s TV show,
no,
was it?
Nope, he was just there.
Right.
And Harriet. Crazy Ann Harriet. 1949. You're going to love this. I know you're going to love this, Dave. 1949, Captain Video and his Video Rangers debuted on the Dumont Television Network. First, I'm going to play a little clip of that.
Post. P-O-S-T. P-O-S-T. The cereals you like the most. The cereals made by Post. Take you to the secret mountain retreat of Captain Video.
electronic wizard, master of time and space, guardian of the safety of the world.
Now, Bruce Dumont will tell you that was the show he grew up with. Like, I grew up with Bozo. I grew up with Ray Rayner. I grew up with Bill Jackson. He would say he grew up with
Captain Video. It was a little before my time also. Yeah. You know, I'm with you. Garfield, Goose, right. Bozo, you know, of those. But Captain Video was from the 50s.
Yeah. And there's DVDs out there, believe it or not. We sell them at the Broadcast Museum at museum.tv. You can get those there. But my favorite. And you know what I'm going to tell you? Remember the episode, The Honeymooners? It was the first actual ever Honeymooners single episode. And it was when Ralph and Norton were sharing a TV. And Norton was a big fan of Captain Video. Let's take a listen.
Right.
Attention, Rangers! I want all you Rangers at home to recite the Captain Video Ranger play. Hi, Edward Norton. Ranger, third class, in the Captain Video Space Academy. Do sound the pledge to obey my mummy and daddy. Be kind to dumb animals and old ladies in and out of space.
Oh, was that it? Oh, that was it.
It ended?
Oh, man, we got to find the rest of that. Yeah, I guess that
was only halfway through it.
It was only halfway through it. That was absolutely a classic. And that was the first Honeymooners episode.
That was the first one?
Yeah. That was the first one. Because don't forget, it was a sketch first. And then it was a regular TV series for one season, the original 39 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a sketch on the Jackie Gleason show. 1955, the first automobile seatbelt legislation was enacted in Illinois. 1965, the first U.S. ground combat forces in Vietnam authorized by President Johnson. Let's take a listen to that presidential news conference.
This is a different kind of war. There are no marching armies or solemn declarations. Some citizens of South Vietnam, at times with understandable grievances, have joined in the attack on their own government. But we must not let this mask the central fact that this is really war. It is guided by North Vietnam and it is spurred by Communist China. Its goal is to conquer the South, to defeat American power, and to extend the Asiatic dominion of communism. And there are great stakes in the balance. Most of the non-communist nations of Asia cannot by themselves and alone resist the growing might and the grasping ambition of Asian communism.
And there you have it. That was the beginning, really the serious part of World War, of the Vietnam War.
When it stepped up. You know, interesting comment that Lyndon Johnson makes there of this being war. It's a different kind of war. You know, he never really asked Congress for a declaration. You know, there was never a declaration of war from Congress for Vietnam, which is why all those years it was referred to as a conflict.
Right.
But, of course, he was obviously right.
You could tell there was just a different type of thoughtfulness and sincerity in his voice when talking about this.
Yes, right. And who knew what was to come?
Yep, exactly. 1977, Josh?
1977, Elvis Presley sings in Indianapolis, last performance of his career. He died August 17th, less than 2 months later.
Imagine being at the... I've never heard anyone interviewed, and I'm sure they're out there. I'm sure there's books written about somebody that was at Elvis's last concert.
I would think there would be.
Yeah.
Any video of it, maybe?
There might be. Yeah, there might be. I might have seen that, actually. I might have played some of that, actually, last year online. Have you been to Graceland, haven't you?
I have not.
You have not?
No, I have not.
That's going to be a next adventure for you and your dad. You got to go to Graceland.
Go to Graceland, yeah, okay.
It's pretty weird being there and walking through. It's literally like somebody's house you're walking through in the 1970s. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, I kind of understand that. I've talked with people that have been there, and I have some good friends that are real Elvis fans and have certainly made the trip there. So it's still in a neighborhood where, you know, there are other homes around it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like in a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of crazy. 1980, David Letterman Show debuts his short-lived show on the NBC daytime long before late night. That was kind of like, it was a daytime talk show, and but it's kind of where he established a lot of his little
nuances bits
that he would do. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And then in 1993, 13 years later, Late Night with David Letterman aired for the last time on NBC because he was going to CBS.
He went to CBS.
Fall. So this week was his final show, and you remember who his last musical guest was? Because I do. It was phenomenal.
I do not.
Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, Springsteen.
He did Glory Days, and he was stomping all over the furniture. It was literally like a 6-7 minute rendition. It was absolutely fantastic.
Have you seen David recently with his interviews with Tom Brokaw?
Yeah, man. Holy cow.
I don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
You don't want to say anything.
He just looks like he's having a good time.
He's enjoying himself.
There
he's
you go.
Himself.
You know, Josh, you're being discreet.
Yes, he is.
You're being discreet. Yes, you're being the objective reporter.
He is.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back after this. 720 WGN.